5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today's show is sponsored by Drobo, a family of safe, expandable, yet simple-to-use storage arrays. Drobos are designed to protect your important data forever. This holiday season, give someone a Drobo to keep all of their files and memories safe forever. It's exactly the product that Natalie and I use to run our entire real estate company. I don't know what I would do without my Drobo. For 20% off your order right now, visit drobostore.com. Using the coupon code IRE20. That's investing in real estate 20. IRE20. Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm Clayton Morris. She is Natalie Morris, although she doesn't have much of a voice on today's episode.
I got the sexy voice.
Yeah. She's got the, what is it, Catherine?
The Kathleen Turner
voice. Kathleen Turner, yeah. So today on the show, we're going to talk about getting your note serviced. Now, we on a previous podcast, we talked about how to construct private notes and set those up. And today, we're going to talk about how to actually get it serviced by a proper loan servicing company. Because the last thing you want to be doing, especially if you're, whether you're getting a private note with a private investor or you're setting one up for somebody else, the last thing you want to be doing is dealing with checks coming in the mail and all of that, right?
Yeah. So we recently started to use a note servicer for a note that we have out to a private investor who wanted to buy a single family property. And so we put down a good portion. I guess it's okay to say how much, right? I'm always asking you what's okay to say when really I don't care. So this is a single family property that this investor wanted in Indianapolis. It costs $38,000 and he only had 10. So we put up the other 28, and the terms that we came to were that it'd be a 10-year amortized note at 8%. And so we were comfortable with that, both parties were. And then we would make monthly, we would get monthly payments for this. Now, this is someone we trust. We've talked about this before. Only do business with people that you're very comfortable with. We're comfortable with this person. But what I wouldn't be comfortable with is going to this person and saying, you haven't made this payment. And so then we're going to put an extra 2% on, onto this month's payment because that was agreed upon in the contract. Or if something were to happen, I'd rather just not deal with that part of it.
Right.
So that's why we went this route.
Right. And so, okay. So when you construct these things, you want to make sure that, because we were doing it before, we've done a few of these before where we would basically, you would set up coupons basically, you were printing them out on your printer and almost an amortization schedule. Here's what you're going to mail in this month. And then here's what you'll mail in the following month. And then all of these things in a line, and it becomes, and then, what happens if that person doesn't make a payment that particular month? Then it's on you to reach out to that person and say, hey, you must not have sent your payment in. And, it just creates a level of complexity that, especially if you're doing multiples of this, you really shouldn't be doing. I like to think of when you're an investor, don't think about just doing the thing that's that you're facing today. Try to picture yourself 3 years from now. And, I'm going to manage these properties myself, right? I'm not going to use a property manager. I'm just going to do it myself. I only have one property. Well, that's great. Well, what if you have 20 properties in 3 years? Are you, think about, picture yourself in the future. Are you going to want to manage 30 properties yourself? Of course not. Think about all the layers of complexity that that creates. You're creating another job for yourself.
Right. And also, if you choose a good note servicer, and I want to, you know, not make you wait for this information, it doesn't cost a lot of money. You know, our note servicer is charging us $15 a month. And in our contract with our borrower, it says that the borrower pays the cost of servicing the note. So that's $15 doesn't come off my bottom line. It comes off the borrower. And, you know, $15 for them to have an online portal where they can see how much of this note has been paid off, what's been paid in principal and interest, when is the next one due, and they can set up auto pay through their bank and it goes into direct deposit into the bank account that I choose. $15 is not that much in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, this borrower has done their homework. They know that they still can afford it in what they're going to make in rent. They will, they still won't be in the red. Essentially, the rent payment is covering the cost of servicing the note and as well as the debt service as well. And so they will have a place to log in and see all that information. But me as the lender also has an online portal. So I can log in and see, has this payment been made? Is it being deposited into my account? What's left on this? And then I can see an amortization schedule as well. Because originally I was kind of toying with the idea of being cheap. And I was like, well, I can always just sort of keep an Excel spreadsheet and manually put in when that is paid every month when the check comes in. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to do that. And then the borrower can't see it unless I share it with them. And it's just kind of the, you know, you don't need to do it that way. There's so many great online portals. We used a company, we have no affiliation with this note servicing center, called sellerloans.com. And they seem to have been great. They've been easy to work with. I had to send them a copy of the note, a copy of the mortgage, a copy of the HUD and the closing documents, as well as an insurance document that says that the insurance is paid for from the owner of the property, but also we are positioned on the insurance as holders of the note on the property as well. Mm.
Okay, great. So what are some of the downsides of using you know, a note servicing company? Why wouldn't you want to use one? Is there any downside to it?
I guess if your margins are really tight in your investment and you don't have $15 a month in your budget at all, then I guess you wouldn't do it that way. I mean, it's $15 a month plus $35 to set up. I mean, that's pretty cheap in the grand scheme of things, you know, and especially because you'll get, like I said, you'll get documentation. And then when it comes tax time, if the borrower were to come to me and say, can you send me like what I've paid in interest and principal for this note this year, I'm going to be like, oh, that's a pain in the butt. I don't want to do that. But they can print it out on the note servicing center. But, you know, each of these note servicing companies has to be licensed in whatever state the property is in. It doesn't matter where you are or where the other party is. What it matters is where the property is, because they're servicing the note there on a piece of property. So we said several times on this podcast, we're big fans of Susan Lasseter Lyons, and we went through her course on how to get private financing. She recommended a company called Evergreen Note Servicing, and I called them, but they don't service notes, and they're not licensed in Indiana. So I had to do some research and find my own licensing company. And it's actually harder than you think, because this is not like a Bank of America. It's not a big business. These are relatively small companies, but I wanted to make sure that whoever was servicing this note had a really good online portal.
So what things did we have to put in place in order to make this happen? What, you know, what was on us? Because we get these questions a lot from investors that, you know, who are, they've got private money, and, you know, really the private investor is kind of like maybe their uncle, you know, and they've got $300,000 that they're like, hey, sure, you know, nephew Timmy, I'm happy to, you know.
But you want a proper note, right? Like, right. Don't just cut nephew Timmy a check without any kind of documentation. And our escrow guy does that for us. When he closes the escrow, I say, we're going to put $28,000 on this loan. Here are the terms of this loan. Payments start December 1st. It's 8%, 10 years amortized, or payments start January 1st. It's 5% interest only, whatever, right? So, and then the buyer, or the borrower rather, gets the note notarized and sends it into the title company. So the note servicing company wants to see that note.
I want to thank today's show sponsor, my good friends over at Drobo, D-R-O-B-O. Do you guys know what a Drobo is? Holy smokes. I run my entire real estate business using the Drobo. Natalie and I use this every day. I don't know what we would do without it. It really is. Drobo is just a simple, it's a storage system for all of your computer's data. So in really, if you ask yourself these three questions, you'll find out if Drobo is right for you. So do you or someone you know have more data than fits on a single hard drive? Like music, movies, your family photos? If that's not you, like if it all fits on one hard drive and then that one hard drive crashes, what's going to happen? You're going to lose all of it. Here's another question for you. Are you dealing with clutter because you have multiple hard drives in your house? You have those big power bricks and cables for each one running underneath your desk? Or here's another question. Do you need just a simple to use system to store all of your photos, music, videos, and other important files? If you answer yes to any of these things, then a Drobo is right for you. Listen, we use the Drobo in our house right now because it'll keep your data safe forever. And what it has, it's built on the simple idea that to increase its capacity, you never need to buy another Drobo. You just have the Drobo and you just keep adding drives to it. So it's got multiple bays in front of it. So I remember when the Drobo first came out a number of years ago, I got one. And I think the maximum amount of storage space I had at the time was like 100 gigabytes or something, or 200 gigabytes. Now I have so many terabytes available that when, you know, one drive gets kind of crowded, you just buy another drive, swap one of the older ones out with a higher storage capacity and pop it right in. And what's amazing is, you know, you have that instant capacity expansion, so you can add that additional drive. You just swap it in, swap it out. And if a drive dies, so if one of these drives craps out, you don't lose your data because it's all shared across all of the other drives. So you don't have to worry about all your photos and other things being lost forever. It's all protected across multiple hard drives, so you never have to worry about it. They have a bunch of different sizes right now. So you can get the Drobo 5D or the 5DT, which is the Thunderbolt and USB 3, or any of the 8-bay or 12-bay unit systems right now. So we have a special offer through December 31st. Here's what they're doing for listeners of this show, for their Investing in Real Estate podcast. It's their best deal that they've done all year. You're going to save 20% or more, but you have to use our coupon code. That'll save you $100 or up to $800, depending on the size of the Drobo that you buy. And so all you need to do is use the coupon code IRE20 when you check out. IRE20, that's Investing in Real Estate 20. There you go. IRE20 will save you 20% off your purchase of the Drobo. So head on over to drobostore.com and use that coupon code and check it out. See if it's right for you. Get educated about it. I love my Drobo. Thanks, Drobo.
I guess I actually don't know if you had just like verbal agreement and had nothing to send them if they would service the note. I don't think so. But nobody do that in homework and see. Always have a note. You want a proper note, right? It's right. Sort of your protection. We also have our escrow guy set up a mortgage document as well. So we have both of those things. And then, like I said, they needed to see the closing documents, and they also needed to see, the insurance policy. And then for the borrower, and a borrower can set this up just as well as the seller does. It just sort of depends on who's paying for this. If it's not in your note that the borrower pays for the note servicing, then maybe the lender does, and then that will come out of your money that they deposit for you every month. And you'll just sort of tell them what your agreement was. I sort of thought it was fair. Like if we put up the capital and this is sort of the cost of getting a debt service, I thought I didn't ask for that to be written in. I think it's standard for it to be written into the contract for the borrower to pay for the note servicing. But I think that sounds fair, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, if they're borrowing the money and they're getting a property, et cetera, and you're setting the note up, I mean, that's something, it's like a typical closing cost, basically, something that can be rolled in. Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not.
And then, like I said, you both get your own online logins. So I can't log into the borrower's portal and like authorize a payment. That wouldn't be cool.
Right.
So I have my own login for lenders.
Right. Well, that's great. And so because we don't have like our own website, right? So if you and I were going to do this ourselves, I guess we could build our own, we could build our own back end database to handle this sort of a thing if we were going to lend money. But you don't want to have to do that. Leave that to the professionals and to pay a little bit of a premium. And then, like you said, like this is kind of on them then. They're responsible for making sure that payments come in on time, that things are being cataloged. And it's a great way for that person then to log in and look at the website and to see what progress they are making on their note. I mean, think about the different mortgages that we have, right? We just paid off one of our homes and we were checking, going in online to find out how much we still owed, how much we would take out, et cetera, et cetera. And all of those things are really, like really, really useful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's not as robust of a website as, say, Bank of America or Wells Fargo, but it's going to get it done. And then you can, again, have all of this documentation to print out for your tax person. And I'm sure they would appreciate that too, because just like if I go to my account overview and I'm looking at it now on this note that we just did, it tells us what the portfolio yield is. It tells us the year-to-date interest, the year-to-date principal, the number of loans you've got, annual pending checks that are waiting, loans maturing, when, and all of that stuff. It's like everything you need to know about this particular piece of business. And like I said, I really trust this person that we loaned to, but I don't want the responsibility of managing this loan. And I was telling you the other day where I was like, oh, should we do this? And you were like, absolutely, we should do this. Like, just don't be cheap, set this up. And I said, if something were to happen and the payment was 5 days late, because I like this person, I probably would let it go. I probably wouldn't pick up the phone, which probably says about me that I'm a pushover. So now everyone's going to ask us for loans. But also, I just don't feel like I would do that. That's not something that I would feel comfortable doing. So why might as well just outsource that thing, because then I would feel bad about myself. I would feel like I'm not being honest with myself. I'm not being fair with myself. I'm not being impeccable with my word, where if you've read the four agreements, you know how important that is. So I'm just so glad to have this off my plate.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd love to hear your feedback. If you've ever, set up different notes before, you've constructed different things, or if you have any tips or strategies that you think our audience would be, you would find useful to be able to share here, we'd love to hear it. You can always certainly send us a message. Join us on our Facebook page. We've got a great, over on Morris Invest on our Facebook page. You can leave comments there below this podcast when it's published. And we'd love to hear your experience with that and sort of any hiccups or things maybe we didn't address here on the podcast. We're always trying to dive into some deep questions. You guys send us like really thoughtful questions. We really think about them a lot. I mean, we just received one from one of our investors about passive versus active income. Obviously for tax purposes, how to properly write things off and how things will sit, whether it's passive or active. And so, you and I talk about these things and we are planning on to do an episode about it. We've talked about it and said, that's a great podcast idea. And let's dive a little bit more deeply into some of those strategies and tactics.
Yep.
Indeed. So I know we also have a note, right? We've sort of a note that we can, you know, block out some of the personal information, but to kind of show people how we've constructed the note in case anyone wants. I know we've definitely sent that out to people who've asked for it before.
Yeah, we do.
So why don't we make that available as a free download and giveaway? What do you think?
I guess. If you want it. yeah, it's good to take a look at it because it's done properly. But what I wouldn't do if I were you is like just copy and paste and then like put your information in there. That, you know, this is something that's too important. So look it over. And then when you ask your escrow person for it, make sure it looks similar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these are things, you know, I know we've talked about it a million times on the show. Do not outsource this kind of stuff, you know, don't attempt to DIY legal stuff or tax stuff or any of that. And I think we should put our disclaimer that we're not telling you to use this document. We're showing you how we do it. We're not giving you advice because I don't want to be sued for someone doing their own note and leaving something out or, you know, that kind of stuff. The liability is high with this kind of stuff. So we're happy to let you see it, but we definitely want to make sure that you run it past your specialist as well.
Perfect. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode because I don't want to kill your voice any more than we need to. If you can go over
should
our
I,
show.
Should I sing us out?
No, please don't. Please. No. Please.
What was that episode of Friends where she loves her sick voice? And I'm not sick, just for the record. It's just I had some inflammation in my, but I'm otherwise fine. Or she's singing that.
I know, it's been awfully quiet.
Alley cats,
oh, God.
Why are you bothering me?
Man, it's been awfully.
It's not your fault. Oh, Alley cats.
I'm just going to say goodbye to everyone. we'll see you next time on the next podcast, everyone. We got to get out of here. I want to save people's ears.
Bye.
Much love to all of you. We'll see you next time, everyone.